during that game in Munich last week, I got a text off one of Pogba's family, and it just said, different animal.
You know, Mancini has wanted everyone to have fun, you know.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now, really happy to say we're joined by a player who's taken the road less travelled, I think you would say, in his career, from Birr, County Offaly, to Leinster, under-18s captain, to Ulster, to New Zealand, and now to Swansea. I'm talking, of course, about Jack Regan, who joins us on the line. Jack, great to have you on. How you doing?
Hiya, Joe. How are things? You well?
The form is great. Things? Yeah, no, the form is great. Great to have you on, I have to say. You know, when you were young and all those our lads would say, oh, I know your father. Well, for the first time...
Yeah, oh, don't get me started with that, Joe. Don't get me started with that.
I'm now of an age where I'm now saying to you, oh, I know your father. So I'm feeling pretty old right here.
Yeah, you're going back a long time there now, so yeah.
So listen, geez, what a whirlwind couple of years for you. To say it's all been a bit unexpected, I would say, is an understatement. We'll chat to you a bit about the road to Swansea, but congrats. I mean, so you've signed forms with Swansea now. How long are you there for the initial agreement? A year or two?
3 years.
Good, great.
3 years, so it's nice to have the bit of security, like, you know. So yeah, I'd be over in Swansea now. Training starts on the 19th, so I'd be over there from... Then I'll probably head over the week early and just, you know, like get like settling and everything. But yeah, it's three years, so yeah.
Brilliant. Swansea is Alan Wynne Jones territory, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Alan Wynne, yeah. So
right.
It'll be daunting, like, but it'll be, you know, like there's no better man like to learn from. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, he'll be a great brain to pick when he gets back from the Lions for sure. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Leinster under-18s. Captain. So rugby was obviously, by that stage, you were pretty serious about rugby. Yeah.
That's not actually true, Joe. I was never under-18s captain.
Right.
But like it's going, you know, it's on all these articles, like, but like I'm not going to correct anybody else. It'd be nice to have been captain, like, but I was never actually, if I'm right, so I captained the under-18 clubs for one game. And I think that's where they're getting it from.
Okay.
But I've never actually been captain, not at all. Okay. But I'll take it all the same, you know?
Well, it's in every article I've read about you, so...
Yeah, I know. I don't know who wrote these articles, but I know. It's funny.
Well, it's a fact now. Okay, one-time captain of the Leinster under-18s and part of the Leinster under-18s. So, I mean, I presume, look, the obvious question to ask is, I'm sure your dad put a hurl in your hand. Was hurling a big thing for you as well growing up? How did the rugby thing come about?
Yeah, hurling was always my number one sport. Obviously, you know, like I'm from Birr, so it's obviously like a religion down here. But when I was in school, I was in Brendan's and like we didn't have any rugby whatsoever. Like, so I started, so like I was always hurling all the way up from when I was small all the way up until minor. And then I would have always played rugby with my local club here in Birr.
Do you know what, Jack? Apologies for jumping in, right? We're going to take a short break because your headphones are just breaking up a touch. And seeing as we've only just started, we'll take a break, we'll get it sorted, and we'll come back with you in 2 minutes. So, we'll be back with Jack Regan.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Okay, take two. Jack Regan, come back into us. How are you?
Sorry about that, Joe.
No, you're fine. That's much better. We're rocking again.
That's much better, okay.
Yeah. So I'll ask the question again for anyone who's just clicked in. We were chatting there and then just had a technical difficulty. So I was saying to you, I presume with your father and everything else, GAA was a big part of your life growing up. And you were just saying before the break there that it was number one for a good while.
Yeah, it was. Hurling was always number one, and then we didn't have any like rugby in our school, and so I played with the local club here in Birr from under-8s all the way up then until kind of under-18s, and then it was like around then when I got in with the Leinster under-18 clubs, and it was at a point then where I kind of had to make a call whether to give like the rugby a go or to play like the two. And yeah, ultimately, like, I decided to hold off from the hurling and give the rugby a go. And I suppose it's been a long journey to where I am now. But hurling, like, you know, like, was always and probably, like, will be always, like, my first love. So.
And was it just the lure of professional sports life that sucked you into rugby? You know, I got to have a crack at this because what a great way to make a living. Was that
the thought process? Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah, it was just... Yeah, I guess it was, like, when I was playing rugby, like, I was always, you know, pretty good, like, and I always maybe thought that, like, I could make maybe a career out of it. So, yeah, it was the whole, I suppose, idea of being able to do what you love, like, and getting paid for it. With the hurling, like, obviously that's not really, like, a viable option. So I suppose it was... it was the idea of, I suppose, like, the professional, like, life.
Yeah.
100%, yeah.
So the Leinster contract never came, and then Ulster swooped in and gave you a three-year deal, which was obviously great for you. So you were kind of, point to prove, did you feel you were a bit unlucky not to get a deal with Leinster? Obviously very competitive there. What was your mindset going up to Ulster?
I did 2 years in the Leinster Sub Academy, which I enjoyed. Like, it was great. Like, I met a lot of great friends in there. But, like, Leinster is obviously, as everyone, like, knows, it's very competitive. After the Irish 20s, I kind of had an idea that I wasn't going to be brought in with Leinster anymore. So Kieran Campbell, he was my head coach with the Irish 19s, and he would have been in with the 20s as well. He gave me a call kind of after the 20s and was like, here, look, like we've got a 3-year spot for you up here in the academy if you'd like to come up. So, you know, like, I rang my dad and I rang my mum and I rang everybody, and, like, I asked, but, like, you know, like, I knew I was always going to go up. And yeah, I decided, like, to go up. And then that was, like, the next stage, I guess, on my journey. I was up there for 3 years, and, like, I loved Belfast, like, you know. But when I was up there, halfway through it, I got a bad back injury, which put me out for probably a year and a half. Which, when I look back on it now, it probably halted, like, a lot of my progress and, like, my development. So it was a nasty injury, I love my time up there,
right,
in Belfast.
I heard, so it was a back injury, I think, and it came, like, in the most almost unexpected way. You were doing some squatting and it was weights, and what was it, bulging disc and a bit of sciatica?
It was a bulging disc in my lower spine, which it was a strange one, actually, Joe, because I didn't have any pain whatsoever in my back. It was actually all in my right leg. Right. So it was going down all the way to my calf, and it was like, it was right in the nerve. And I don't know if you've ever had it, like, but, like, nerve pain anywhere in the body is probably, like, the worst you can have. So had that for about a year or a bit, and it was probably, I don't like looking back at it. It was horrible now, to be honest. Like, but we got over it, and, you know, like, all, like, the doctors and everything up in Ulster, and, like, everyone up there was great, really, like, and they got me over it. And, like, I got the operation there at the end of 2019, and I've had no issues with it,
touch wood,
you know, like, ever since. So I'm very grateful to everyone up there, like, you know.
And was that, like, almost a constant kind of pain down your leg, or just...
It was.
Yeah.
Oh. Joe, yeah, like, everything, like, sneezing, coughing, laughing as well, you know, like, trying to go to the bathroom as well was always a chore. And then sleeping was probably the worst, like, you know, like, you'd be, like, lying on your leg and then it'd go really sore, and then, like, you'd roll over and it would be exactly the same on the other side. So just constant pain, it was just horrible, like, you know.
For a year?
Over it now. Sorry?
For a year?
For just over a year, Joe, it was a long time, like, now when I look back at it, like, to go through that, and then, like, I bit the bullet at the end and I got the operation, which, looking back at it now, I probably should have gotten it a lot earlier, to be honest, but it is what it is, like, you know.
And how did you cope during that year then, Jack? Well, you must have been fairly miserable with the whole thing, I would have thought.
I was pretty miserable. It's hard as well when you've got friends. So at the time, I was living with Jacob Stockdale, obviously, who was flying it with Ireland at the time, and like him and like, you know, like Adam McBurney and lads like that who were going really well. So when you're struggling at home and then like obviously like the lads are all playing like and doing really well, it's obviously hard, like, but
yeah, because this,
you just get this through it, I suppose.
Yeah, this was, so you went up to Ulster in 2017, so I mean in 2018 Jacob Stockdale is the toast of the rugby world and Ireland are winning the Grand Slam.
Yeah, that's that. He was flying it. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, and you're in bits even going to the bathroom.
I'm on the floor, honest to God. Now, I was, Adam McBurney will actually laugh at this, he always used to slag me about, like, I would spend hours on the floor in the living room, like stretching and like rolling around, and he used to take the hand out me, like, but yeah, like all the boys were flying it, like, you know, but I was there just like an old, you know, like an old man at that stage, like, I was really bad, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you're thinking, my career is going down the toilet here, this is just not going to work out at all. So the operation did the trick, did it pretty quickly, you're back on your feet and you were moving okay after the operation?
It did. I got the operation in September of 2019, and then I was back playing kind of at the beginning of March of, the end of 2018 I got the operation.
Yes.
Then I was back playing in March of 2019. So I was back within, what's that, like 6 months? So
okay,
it was good, like, you know. Yeah. It was nice to be back playing at that stage.
Oh, I'd say it was a relief. I mean, you must have been thinking, am I ever going to be free of this after a year? Even just from a lifestyle point of view, for whatever about playing rugby again.
Yeah, well, no, well, that's it. Like, you know, like you're back, like you've only got like one back, and if you've got like any, like, you know, like, you know, like any issues with it, like you really have to do mind it. And I, you know, like now I look after my back like there's no tomorrow. Like I do, you know, like you have to, like, because when you get an operation, you know, like that, like there's always a higher chance of it, like, you know, like repeating on you again. So
yeah,
you just have to mind your back. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So I guess not surprisingly, I'm sure it was very disappointing for you, but not surprisingly, your 3 years are up with Ulster. You've had this massive chunk taken out of the middle of it, which has probably not helped your development. And at the end of the 3 years, Ulster turn around and say, look, Jack, we love you and everything, but sorry, that's end of the road territory. Tell us about that moment of that conversation. How is news like that given to you?
Yeah, we got a text probably on the Monday that we got a text on the Sunday evening. I got a text telling me that, like, I had a meeting with Naz, who was the manager at the time. Mm. You know, like on like the Monday morning, and I didn't really know what was going on. A few other lads had gotten a message as well, and like we didn't really know what was going on, whether, like, you know, like we were getting dropped or whether we were getting upgrades or like a development. So I was brought in anyway the next morning and told basically that, yeah, like I wasn't being kept on. And to be honest with you, like I wasn't too surprised. I was quietly maybe hoping for a development, because in the October we played Leinster in the A final and I played really, really well, and off the back of that I maybe thought that I was going to get development. But rugby is a rootless business, like, and I was brought in and I was told that, like, I wasn't getting anything, and that was it, like, the like that's the treat. Then, like, I walked out and, like, I rang my dad, as like I always do, and like I told him, and it was obviously hard to hear. Like, you're up there for, like, I spent two and a half years of my life up there, and yeah, it was a hard one to take. But then obviously, like, I got the text of your man in New Zealand then the week after, and after that,
was it the week after?
Opened up a lot more. So it was, though. It was pretty hard to hear that. Yeah, 100%.
I'm sure it was, because I didn't realize the text from New Zealand came so quickly after the Ulster rejection.
Maybe not a week. That was a little bit of an over exaggeration. It was it was within the next 3 weeks anyway, definitely.
Right, okay. Because I'm curious, your mindset there, where you've had the Leinster rejection and then the Ulster rejection comes, and okay, look, you know yourself with the Ulster thing, you were a bit unlucky with injury, but still at the end of the day, they're saying, we don't really believe in you anymore. That's ultimately where they are. I mean, like me looking in from afar and kind of, you know, through your dad and everything, I was kind of following the career and really hoping you'd do well. I think anyone looking in at that point after Ulster said no thanks would have said, oh well, it's not going to happen here, Jack, you're on the scrap heap, you know, that's just ruthless, ruthless sport. Do you remember having those thoughts, or did you think to yourself, I'm still going to make it as a pro here? Or where was your head after being told ain't going to happen at Ulster either?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said that maybe I thought it was over for me. I was thinking that, like, maybe pro rugby isn't for me, and even like my dad as well, you know, like when I rang him and told him that I was been let go, he was like, you know, like he was like, oh well, is this really for you? And we had a chat, and then what, you know, like ever since I was like a young lad, like I've always known that like I want to play pro rugby. And I suppose like at the time, like I didn't have any other opportunities. I was just playing with Hinch, like with, you know, up in Ulster, and playing like, you know, like All Ireland League rugby. But other than that, I didn't have anything, any opportunity. So yeah, I did think that maybe that was it.
Yeah.
But as I said, like the next opportunity was literally just around the corner. So
yeah. Amazing. Well, I guess, well, so that is where your story becomes kind of the million to one shot. So for people who haven't heard, there was a Bronson Ross who used to be at Ulster, and he had obviously heard you'd been rejected. He must have, in fairness, heard decent things about you. So he sent you a text saying, do you want to come down to New Zealand? And before you know it, you're on a plane down with the Dunedin Sharks. They're an amateur side down there. You lose your luggage on the flight down. So basically, you turn up in New Zealand to meet some dude you've never met before, and you lose your clothes, and they're an amateur side. So right from the off, that's an interesting start, not to mention a pandemic about to happen.
It was an interesting start, but there's actually another part of that that actually no one knows, was when I landed in Auckland, I didn't have my visa. So I was on a 30-day travel visa.
Right.
So when I landed in Auckland Airport, they obviously, like, my name flashed up, and like I had like all these bags with me. So when I was walking through the airport, the immigration officer, he brought me over and was like, oh, is it okay if we, like, you know, like have a chat with you? And I wasn't really in a position to say no. So
I wouldn't think you were.
Sorry?
I wouldn't think you were in a position to say no.
Exactly. Yeah. So here I am in like the waiting room, and then next minute a lad holding a huge camera over his shoulder walks in, and I'm like, oh holy Jesus, what's going on here? So like I didn't think anything of it, and your man, he brought me in anyway, like, to interview me, and that's grand. And then while we're chatting, like, your man has the camera over us, like everything we're saying. And then in the interview, like, your man is like, oh, you know, you've got a page on like on Wikipedia. And I was like, I'm aware of that, yeah. And he was like, when have you looked at it last? And I was like, I don't really go look myself up now, like, or anything. So like I haven't looked at it at all. And he had it on his computer, and he showed me it. And at the time, I didn't know that on Wikipedia, like, you know, like, you know, like, what's it called, like, anyone's able to like edit it.
Yeah.
So it turns out that a few lads up in Belfast had gone onto my page and wrote in some like very like immature stuff.
Right.
And the whole thing's on video now, like, and I'm like, jeez, I didn't have a clue about that or whatever. So long story short, anyway, like the whole like your man who was videoing it, he was from the TV show, you know, the one to do like the border security in New Zealand.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know when it's being aired. I sincerely hope that it's not being aired. But that was my story when I landed. And then like I lost my luggage when I arrived in Auckland as well. So it was a complete nightmare to start
off.
Oh
my God.
It was a funny story, yeah. It's quite funny.
Well, I think we're all looking forward to that episode when it does air, to see
panic
on your
mother
face.
I don't want her to see it. Like, they wrote in some very, very immature stuff.
Well,
it was,
thanks for not
looking back on it now, it was hilarious. Like, I was worried I wasn't going to get into, to be honest with you.
Thanks for not repeating that immature stuff on
air.
No,
yeah, I was very careful there, Joss.
Yeah.
I was very careful.
So Dunedin Sharks, amateur side. I mean, this is, I mean, with the greatest respect to them, by the way, this is not like a high professional level you're initially pitching in at. And the pandemic happens then, which I'm sure is a weird time. So you're in a new country and you just settle down for a few months. And I think it's about June you re-emerge. You do well enough to then play some Mitra 10 Cup with Otago. And that's where kind of that's what leads to Highlanders. Ultimately, that's where they see you. So you obviously did pretty well with Otago and had done well enough with Dunedin Sharks to get the gig there, and they put you into the side and you seemed to take to it. You did really well in the Mitra 10 Cup.
Yeah, well, I began after lockdown, I began playing with the Sharks, and we actually had a really good team. Like, it'd be interesting how they go in the All-Ireland League. We had a really good team, and then I ended up playing well, and then I was brought into the Otago wider squad, and training there in the early mornings, like in the gym, and like we did some, like, you know, like wrestling and all that, and I was playing with the Sharks as well. Like, so the coaches were always watching the all the games, like, so I was it would have been September of that year of last of sorry, August, when they like named the squad in Mitra 10. So I was in that squad, and I managed to make the bench when we played Auckland there in, you know, in the opening game. Like, I'm off the bench and I had a nightmare. I actually got a yellow card and disaster. Like, I really thought that I was never going to play a game again in, you know, like with Otago. I thought I was done it. And then the week after, I started against Manawatu, and then I played every game after that, pretty much. I played 11 games in total, I think, so pretty much every game. And then we lost to North in the semi-finals, which was a bit of a disaster. But throughout the whole tournament, I had actually gone pretty well. So I wasn't sure what the Highlanders were thinking. I had an inclination that maybe I'd go in on like an injury training contract, but I wasn't actually sure, so I was just waiting. So pretty much after the Mitra 10, like, I was in a bit of a limbo for 2 or 3 months. I wasn't sure whether to get a job or what I'd do, so like, I just waited it out, and I was hoping that the Landers would ring. And I remember I went up to Queenstown for Christmas, and while I was on the way up, I got a call from Tony Brown asking me to come in and train on the injury, you know, like replacement. And I was over the moon. I couldn't believe it now, to be honest with you. And then I went in then on the 12th of January. That's when pre-season began, and I was in there ever since. So I didn't expect it now at all. To be honest, it was a bit of a roller coaster, like, but
I'd say it was.
It was a good experience, like, to be in there.
Well, you're going from, you know, the Dunedin Sharks to suddenly Aaron Smith is your teammate, so that's kind of unbelievable, really. And then, I mean, because I do remember, so this is, we're now into kind of this year territory. I do remember suddenly on, I don't know, waking up some morning and all these clips of, it must have been, I think, your Highlanders debut in Super Rugby, and it's like Joe Moody, All Blacks Joe Moody, like, grabbing you by the collar and like slapping your face a few times, and you doing nothing back to him. And I was like, where has Jack Regan, what's going on here? It was an unbelievable start.
I know, it was crazy. So actually, we did the haka at the beginning of that game, and, you know, like, so at the beginning of preseason, like, we learned the whole haka, and, you know, like, or like the week of a game as well, we were up, like, we end up in a marae, which is like a Maori church almost, and like, we did the haka up there. It was an unbelievable experience, but, like, you know, like, learning the haka was just hilarious. Like, everybody, like, would look down or like at the Irish lad in the corner and be like, how is he getting on with haka? Like, but it was unbelievable. And then the whole Joe Moody thing, like, it happened 2 minutes into the game. It was a maul, and actually I was the one who was holding on to him, and he just lashed out. I actually couldn't believe it. I hit me in the face, like, but it was like an open palm, so that's why he didn't get a card. Mm. But straight after it happened, I was like to him, "Oh lad, like you're gone, like you're done, like you're gone." But like I was only acting like the big man, like I don't know what I was doing. But he didn't get a card, but like when you look back at it now, it was only handbags really, like, yeah. You know, it was only because I was Irish and he's an All Black, like everybody made a big deal out of it, like, but
yeah,
you know, it was only really harmless enough, like looking back at it now, you know.
No, it was, but there was a degree of like, welcome to the big league, son.
This is... Yeah, 100% there was, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Doing the Haka, that's kind of a cool experience, I would think, and not one many Irish players have had. Do you find, like, we always think, oh, it's a nice advantage for the All Blacks team, like it puts them in a good space, and yeah, the other team maybe have to just stand there and watch it. Did you get something out of doing the Haka before a game? Did it get you up for a game in a certain kind of way?
I wouldn't say no. To be honest with you, like, you know, like you learn a lot about the you know, like the whole culture of the Maoris. Mm. And what the Haka actually means, like people, you know, like everybody here just watches the Haka, like, and like it looks you know, like amazing and mm, everything, like, but what it actually means is what I got out of it. It's just unbelievable, like the Maori culture, and like I've got a really, you know, like new like appreciation for that, and it was just an awesome experience. Now,
yeah,
whenever I'm like, or like at a party, like, or anything, and I've had a few drinks or something, like, you know, like it'll be my party piece. I know all the words, and I, you know, like, or like I remember all the actions as well, so it'll be my party piece. Like, but it was an unbelievable experience learning it, and you know, like I'll never forget it. Like, I'll never forget it.
Yeah. So, were you tempted to stay out beyond the season just gone, or did you always want to get back to this side of the world? Were you offered a contract, or so? How did Swansea come about then? This new part of the journey.
Yeah. So, the Highlanders actually offered. So I had an agent out there. I had an agent here as well. So the Highlanders actually offered me a 1-year contract for next year,
right?
But the Ospreys had already offered a 3-year deal.
Mm.
And the Ospreys one was just an opportunity that I couldn't really say no to. Yeah. To be honest, saying that though, I'd probably say if the Ospreys hadn't have offered anything and like I didn't have anything else over here, I wouldn't have left New Zealand. I absolutely love the place. Mm. And I would recommend it to absolutely anybody. You know, even if you're not into like sport or anything, or like rugby, it's the whole like lifestyle. Like, it's just an unbelievable place, and like the culture and everything. I've got like everybody here now at home is pissed off, like, because, you know, it's all I go on about now at home is, you know, is like New Zealand. But yeah, no, like I wouldn't have come home only for the Ospreys game. No, I love it out there.
You're like that fella who spent his Jay Wood in America and won't shut up about San Diego for the next 5 years.
Yeah, that's literally me. Everyone's, I'm wrecking everybody's head. I need to stop, to be honest.
God, that's amazing. Like, it's a million to one shot. It just shows life is never predictable, is it, to have had that 18 months?
No, and that's it. Like, I was only going out there to play club rugby and maybe have a few drinks, like, but I was actually going out there, you know, like I always had the goal to play pro rugby, like, and I was going out there, you know, like at the bottom, and to be honest, I never really expected to play for the Highlanders, maybe hopefully play with a tag up, but never play for the Highlanders.
Mm.
So it was a hell of an experience. Like, and when you look at, like, there are other Irish lads out there who are doing it. Obviously, you know, like Ollie is with the Crusaders, and Conan O'Donnell's out there as well. He's flying it, like, so he was out there. He was actually playing with the Highlanders when I landed out there. So he's been out there now. He's been in Japan. He's been everywhere over there. So he's flying as well. Like, so, like, I'm not actually the only one.
Mm.
And hopefully there'll be more to come as well, because as I said, it's an unbelievable place, and it is, you know, it is where everybody, you know, like, aspires to be.
Yeah.
You know, like the All Blacks, like, so yeah. Yeah, it was great.
I've heard you talking about your own game. So you're about 6'5", which may be as weird.
6'6", I suppose. 6'6", no.
All right, okay. Sorry,
I've grown over the last year as well.
Fair enough, fair enough. 6'6", good 6'6", maybe 6'7".
Maybe 6'7".
We'll change your Wikipedia after this now. We'll sort that out.
Yeah.
So 6'6", which, look, it's a strange thing to say. Maybe isn't super tall for a lock.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not
as crazy as that is. Yeah, and I was reading as well. You have to try and bulk up and get bigger and all that kind of stuff. Tell us a bit about your game, Jack. Then, because I also heard you talking about bringing a bit of dog to matches. That's something you.
Bit of dog, yeah. Well,
you have, haven't you?
Obviously, from like GA background, like it's always they're always like. You know, like, is the element of like a bit of dog. But when I was up in Belfast, that, like, you know, like, I knew it was in there, but like I never really brought it out. Maybe right. You know, like, a game here or there, but it wasn't every week. And then when I went out there, I was on my own, like, and like I knew I was on my own, so like I had to bring something extra, like, because or like an Irish lad who'd be out there, you know, like, they wouldn't really like respect me. So like I knew I had to bring a little bit extra, and that's, yeah, like a little bit of dog helped me, I think, to get me to where I am now. So but now, like, there's other, you know, like, areas of my game where I can always work on, like, and I know that, but like you're never, you know, like you're never going to be the perfect player, like, so no, there's always areas like you can work on and stuff. So, but I've got an opportunity now over in Swansea where I've got a, you know, like, I've got, like, I'm over there for the next three years, like, so I can, you know, like, I can really, like, develop. Hopefully, like, I don't get any injuries like I did in Belfast, and I can really, like, work on my game. So I'm looking forward to it, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, you need luck. You know, you've had a bit of luck after some bad luck, and now hopefully it leads to a bit of momentum. So what, you're 24. I mean, hopefully you've got 10 years in the game and you can really kick on now.
Well, hopefully, Joe, yeah. Like, I'm a lock, so on average, you know, like, without any injuries, a lock might play till 33 or 34 maybe. Like, but Alan Wynn's obviously, like, an exception. He's, you know, like, the man is never injured. He's a machine, so I'll be definitely asking him how he does it, like, so. But hopefully, yeah, I'll get another 10 odd years, yeah, but it's a short enough career, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully no injuries.
Well, it's great. When do you go over for pre-season?
So pre-season starts on the 19th of July. I'll probably look to get over there around the 12th, so like a week in advance, and then hopefully just settle in. So really looking forward to now, like, the new you know, like, it's an opportunity, like, so just really, really looking forward to it now, Joe.
It's great. The Regan family will be on the Aer Lingus and Ryanair websites.
My dad actually, it's funny you say that, like, my dad he's already got 3 Ospreys polos, he's got a jacket, he's got the polo. So it doesn't surprise me, like, because he's always been there, like, he's been like the number one, you know, like, my number one supporter, and, you know, like, I wouldn't really be where I am without him, like, but he'll be over there every weekend, so I'm really, really looking forward to that.
He'll be speaking Welsh in 3 years' time, knowing him.
Absolutely,
I'm sure he's super proud. I'd say he's delighted for you and can't believe it, so that's great. Come here, he was a Lunster. He's one of these Lunster types you hear about down in Thomond Park all the time, supporting Munster, so I presume you've been indoctrinated as well, have you?
I was as well. When I was growing up, like, I used to hate Leinster, I'll be honest. I, you know, like, the posh lads up in Dublin, like, and all this, but we used to love Munster. But then when you go up through the age grades in Leinster, you know, and, like, you mix with all the Michaels boys and the Blackrock boys, you're actually, you know, like, the nicest fellas you'll meet. So he indoctrinated me. I used to love Munster. We went to the 2008 Heineken Cup final in Cardiff, and it was the greatest experience of my life. It was like the atmosphere and everything, like, in there, and, like, you know, yeah, I used to love Munster now, but not so much anymore, Josh, to be honest. Not so much anymore.
Okay. Well, listen, amazing stuff. So the very best of luck over the next couple of years. Hope it goes well for you. Been an amazing couple of years so far. Jack Regan, great to have you on. Take care. See you, Jack.
You all right, Joe?
That was Jack Regan there, and our rugby coverage is with thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in there, the Irish rugby team sponsor. And the other exciting news to mention is that obviously the Lions get their 9-match tour underway this Saturday, and here in OTB Sports we have all 9 matches live. The full tour is going to be live here. Brian O'Driscoll, Alan Quinlan alongside Neil Tracy on commentary for the 3 test matches, and then we have a brilliant supporting cast for all the other games as well. The likes of Devon Toner, Neve Briggs, Jack Carty will be on commentary, and this Saturday the Japan game kicks off at 3 o'clock. Andy Dunn is going to be alongside Neil, so that's 3 o'clock, live on News Talk, live on OTB Sports and all our social channels as well. And that is brought to you in association with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions, so we're looking forward to that as well on the station.
Wednesday Night Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us, everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.